Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Glad you guys could join me again here. Kicking it up, you know, when I was looking back at the final this past week with a 0-6 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I was a little worried that I might get a little offbeat here. And I didn't want to do that because there's been so much positive for the Colts in the past several weeks. Going on their 5-game win streak, coming back from a 1-5 start, you know, and I just thought, man, this has to be one of those bump in the road games. So I gave myself a couple days to just sit back and kind of chill on the whole thought process. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to skip on the recap because I just don't want to do it. I'm going to move on. I might refer back to it at a couple different times just to kind of, you know, make a point or to accentuate a point or something like that. But overall, I mean, you guys saw the game that I saw. It was not good. It was not pretty. There was a lack of execution throughout the game. And the Jaguars won it with 6 points. I mean, there's not much more for us to really debate about it, quite honestly. I mean, probably not the best coach game, not the best execution offensively. I mean, other than that, is there something else that you guys need me to say about that game that you don't already know? I don't think so. So we're going to skip that one. And I'm doing it, like I said, probably for my sanity and for you guys too. There's no need to relive that. It wasn't a massacre by any means. But when you still look at the lack of production and the lack of scoring on there, it's just one of those you just want to forget about. So today we're going to look ahead. We're going to look at the Texans. The Colts travel to Houston, someplace they've played pretty well. A couple players in particular have played really well there in the past, namely Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. But first, let's take a quick look at the injury report for Wednesday. A lot of guys sitting out practice. Mo Alley Cox, Eric Ebron, Clayton Gathers, T.Y. Hilton, Marcus Hunt, Dontrell Inman, Ryan Kelly, and Mike Mitchell. None of those guys were participants on Wednesday. And Nate Hairston, Malik Hooker, Chris Milton, Chester Rogers, and Eric Swope were all limited. So a big injury list starting off the week, you know, on Wednesday. I think it's weird, too, because you look, I mean, obviously Eric Ebron, his was due to a back and apparently an illness, too. So you combine those two and you kind of see that maybe he could be not sidelined necessarily for the game Sunday, but you see that he could be not at his best. And then you see Mo Alley Cox, a guy who has kind of come on and surprised us, I think, right? I mean, we all kind of saw, you know, his length, and we knew about his athleticism and stuff and his basketball background. Didn't really think there was a whole lot to him. We've seen him make some really good plays and play some really good football for the Colts so far this year. And with Doyle being out the rest of the season, he becomes a much more important guy, I think. You know, do they do anything with anybody that they've signed recently? I don't know. There seems to be this back and forth between Wimbush and Walker, you know, from practice squad to waived, practice squad to waived. And so, neither one of those moves are really going to make much of a difference for the Colts right now. But you just have to look at the tight end position right now. I mean, Clyde Walford was signed. Are they going to keep him? And does he offer anything for the Colts tight end position right now? I don't know that. But I mean, when you've got three of your healthy tight ends all on the injury report and two of them didn't practice at all on Wednesday, that kind of makes you wonder, you know, what's going to happen in the coming week. So a lengthy injury report to start the week for the Colts. It's a big game. Guys, this is a big, big game. And I'm not going to sugarcoat this at all. This is not just a big game because it's an AFC South game. This is not just a big game because the Colts lost their last one. This is not just a big game because it's on the road. This is a monster game because the Colts literally, in my opinion, their playoff chances are weighing in the balance with this one game. And it's not to say that they couldn't lose this one and win their next three. The problem is that you've got a legitimate playoff team, in my opinion, in the Houston Texans right now. They've gone on a 9-game win streak. And if the Colts think that they're legitimate playoff contenders, they've got to at least be able to beat this Houston Texans team. Now, I'm not going to say that Houston is a team that the Colts should just, you know, steamroll. That's not what I'm getting at. What I am saying is that you've got Andrew Luck, you've got the offensive line. You think that's going to be, you know, the definitely the base of the future for that, and they've played so well lately. You've got a receiver core that is kind of blah, but you've gotten T.Y. Hilton involved quite a bit early. You've got a running back room that has shown that they can really put it all together, but they haven't lately. There's a lot of things right now that the Colts could do and really open this game up, in my opinion. I think that the Colts have as much a chance to win this game as the Texans do, but I also think that this game could go in a couple different directions. Just in general, and just right off the top, I've had a really hard time thinking about this game and actually picking a winner because I go back to that game where they played in Lucas Oil Stadium. I go back to the fact that the Colts basically handed them two scores in that game, and they still about won it after coming back. And Andrew Luck throws for over 400 yards, what, three or four touchdowns, whatever it was. And I mean, it's ultimately the same team. I think they had some guys injured, and that's all great and stuff, but when you look at Andrew Luck, I still think he's a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. I still think Andrew Luck can carve up this defense like he did the first time. And I still think that the defense for the Colts is good enough to do enough in order to give the offense an opportunity to win the game in general. However, you look at the defense for the Texans, and they are significantly better than a lot of teams that the Colts have played lately. So you think that if the Colts do win, it could be close, like a 3-point game or something like that. And Deshaun Watson and this offense are plenty capable of putting up some points. Let's just talk about their last five games, guys. The Texans have scored almost 30 points, 29 and change, in their last five games. And they're only giving up 18. That is literally what the Colts were doing through their five-game win streak, giving up just under 20. And, I mean, they were scoring like 34. But, I mean, honestly, we're talking average here. So you're talking about literally a point, you know, or two per game that's making a difference in that. So let's really look at this. This is a hell of a matchup. You take the records and you throw them out. Like I told you last week, you don't hold the records when the Colts travel to Jacksonville. When the Colts travel to Houston, you can still say that all this team, you know, has done in the past is whoop them in their own stadium. That's great. But this is not your grandpa's Houston Texans. This is a new team. This is a much better team with better weapons and probably one of the most sure-handed, if not the most sure-handed wide receiver in the league right now in Hopkins. You add Demaryius Thomas to that. I mean, you add Lamar Miller having some nice games lately. This is a hell of a matchup, guys. I mean, this is another one here. I don't expect this one to be as quite, you know, obviously anything like the Jaguars game as of this past week, where it's basically just a defensive battle, oddly. But I expect it to be, you know, a pretty interesting game. I mean, look, their last loss was in week three to the Giants. I mean, can you imagine? Think about that now. Since then, they beat the Colts, they beat the Cowboys, they beat the Bills, they beat the Jaguars. None of those games more than two touchdowns. Okay, and then they go and play the Dolphins and blow them out by 19. They barely beat the Broncos. They barely beat the Redskins. And they beat Tennessee by a couple scores. Then they beat Cleveland this past weekend, 29-13. So you've got a few games in there where the Texans have really put it all together. Their first, their first five games, they only scored more than 30 points the one game, and that was against the Colts, where they scored 37. In their past five, they've scored 42, 19, 23, 34, and 29. So they're finding their offense, okay? And they've only given up 30 points once this year. That was also to the Colts. Everything else has been under 25 points since week four. So you've got a defense that's rounding into shape as well. This is going to be an excellent, excellent game for everybody to watch. I think that you look at what the Colts can do offensively. You look at what the Texans bring defensively. You look at what the Texans can do offensively with Watson, with Hopkins, with Miller, with a lot of what they've got. Then you look at the Colts defense, and the Colts defense brings that opportunistic twist to everything. They bring a very nice game plan into each week, it seems. Matt Eberflus has these guys doing a little bit of a little different every time, taking a little different approach each week, each play, each possession for the opposing offense. And that's fun to watch. The Colts really have to, I mean, they're going to have to lock it down defensively. And they're going to have to give up less than 15 to 20 points for the Colts to have a shot to win this game. This is a big one, guys. I mean, the Colts are 6-6 now, and the Texans are 9-3. This could get the Colts within two games, but this is really not a game where the Colts, you're saying the Colts should win the division here. This is not that kind of game. This is simply and plainly to keep the Colts in the wild card hunt. Because if they don't win this game, man, they are in trouble. Because the Giants are playing good right now. The Cowboys are playing good right now. And they've got one more against the Titans. This is going to be a very difficult schedule for the Colts coming up, regardless of what we thought it was earlier in the season. I mean, look, we were looking at the Colts having a piece, like a really easy almost second half of the season schedule here after the bye. I mean, the Jaguars gave them all they could handle in the second half. They blew out the Titans. The Dolphins gave them everything they could have. The Jaguars beat them. The Texans are playing out of their mind. The Cowboys are playing great. The Giants have picked that up a notch. And the Titans are so impossible to figure out at this point. You just really don't know what to expect from them. So these last four games could go any which way. And right now, the Colts need to get back into the mode of building momentum each and every possession. Sustained drives. Points every drive. Not taking points off the board. Being able to move the ball consistently. Not getting a bunch of three and outs. That's been an issue with the Colts lately. And they cannot continue to do that. So we're going to take a quick break right here for our TickPick ad, guys, and then we'll be right back with the second half of the show. All right, Colts fans, we have a great deal for you. Let me tell you guys about TickPick, this amazing app to buy tickets to any game, concert, or other event. Are you looking for tickets to this week's game and want to know exactly what you're going to pay for those tickets? I do, and if you do too, then TickPick and their amazing and simple app is right up your alley. The TickPick app is extremely easy to use, and best of all, there are absolutely no surprises at checkout. Listen, you find the game, find the seats you want, and you're all set. Think StubHub without any fees. You get the same tickets, same seller, but absolutely zero fees. You save 10 to 15% on every ticket order. And get this, for our listeners, they're offering you an amazing offer of $15 off any single order over $99 through the end of the season. All you have to do is enter SB Colts as your gift code at checkout. This isn't a sign-up only offer either. They went all in for you guys. Not only do I use TickPick, but I approached them and wanted to get the word out on this company because it was so stinking easy and nobody likes to find the seats they want, then get that smack in the face at checkout of another $35 to $50 in fees being added. I'll never use another ticket app again. It's very user-friendly and you get the same great tickets with lightning quick ticket transfers. Remember, that's TickPick and use the gift code SBColts to save yourself $15 on any order over $99. Go to TickPick and take advantage of this offer today, 100% verified Colts tickets without any fees. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Look, we're going to look at some keys to this game right here, and I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things. I mean, I can make this as blanket as possible and just simply say that the Colts have to put all aspects of this game together in order to get themselves a win. I think that that would be just as good. We could end the show right now, and it would be just as true. But we're going to look at some legitimate pieces that the Colts have to contain on this Texans roster in order to make that so. DeAndre Hopkins, first and foremost, 114 targets already, And I say already, we're through 13 weeks, but look, 114 targets. When their next largest share goes to Will Fuller, and that's 45. You know, Kiki Coutte, Ryan Griffin after that. I mean, there is, after that, it is just basically spreading the ball around and getting the ball to their running backs. This is something that they're going to have to figure out. Are they going, they cannot have these loose, sloppy zones against Hopkins like they did last time around. They've got to be able to put somebody in his face, help him over the top. They're going to have one of the linebackers sitting in a favorable side zone. We watched this in some of their film on their first go-round. The Colts had some of the linebackers just slightly out of place. This was three games into the season, so, I mean, it was something that you kind of expect at that point in the year, especially from a lot of the young guys that are playing. I mean, Anthony Walker, only a second-year guy, two other rookies playing a lot of snaps at linebacker. So, I mean, you kind of expect that, and you kind of get that. You know, Najee Good even was playing at that point. So, I mean, you had a veteran, but typically he was opposite side of the field. You were seeing him a lot more on the Sam spot. And, you know, right now, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is the guy that they have to stop. They've got to come up with a legit game plan to get him rattled, to keep him from scoring, because he's got 8 touchdowns already this year. He's got a 70% catch rate, and he's got over 1,100 yards receiving this year. This is not going to be an easy task, but it's something they've got to do. On the other side, you have Lamar Miller, you know, as the running back with 176 attempts already, averaging 5 yards a carry. I mean, almost 80 yards a game on his own. That is nothing to just simply, you know, shake a stick at. He's got over 1,000 yards from scrimmage this year. Lamar Miller has put together a really nice game, season. And then you have Alfred Blue also. I mean, he's gotten 128 attempts, so he's getting fed too. And he's over, I mean, he's not as efficient with, I think he's right around 3.5 yards per carry. But look, he's a guy that comes in, he gets his fair share, he gets some targets out of the backfield, and he's a quality receiver out of the backfield too. So, I mean, he's picking up, you know, some yardage. He's got a nice catch rate as well. But, I mean, and he's not only that, guys, he's a guy who constantly plays. I mean, he's just always in the game. You know, he is going to play and stay healthy. This is something that the Colts seriously have to, you know, have to, or they're going to have to be able to keep this under wraps. I mean, in just the few games that Demaryius Thomas has been around, he's only gotten 13 targets, but he's been mad efficient right now with over 13 yards a catch. He's gotten a 31 yard, and he's already got 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, this is a guy who comes in and he's already third on the team in touchdowns, in receiving touchdowns. So this is definitely going to be a two-headed monster. In my opinion, you take away DeAndre Hopkins and you take your chances with Demaryius Thomas. That's just how you have to do it. You really don't have a choice in the matter because you can't let DeAndre Hopkins, or you just lock down everybody else and let DeAndre Hopkins kind of roam free. I don't like that because you're going to risk getting DeAndre Hopkins 3 touchdowns in this game. And Watson loves him, clearly. Like I said, almost 120 targets already this season. Hopkins is definitely a guy that the Colts are going to have to take care of. And with that, you've also got to make sure that you don't let Watson just go crazy. You've got to be able to get some pressure on him. They've got to, I enjoyed what they did last week. I told you guys last week in the film review that I thought Tyquan Lewis would be a good guy to send over Ereck Flowers because he was kind of weak at the left tackle spot. They did that, and it was effective. It just didn't yield the sacks that it probably should have. You know, they got plenty of pressure on him when they did twist. He opened up things for other guys. We saw Nico Autry get himself in the backfield for 3 sacks. He did very well, and Tyquan Lewis had a couple tackles for loss as well. So looking at it kind of all-inclusively, you see that Tyquan Lewis is a big help for this defensive line. Now, Danico Autry, can he continue the same pressure that he was giving last week? He needs to. This Texans offense, their offensive line, is nothing great. It isn't spectacular. This Colts, they're going to have to scheme. And you know what? These guys up front, they're just going to have to win their battles. They're just going to have to win them. because they cannot rely on being schemed up. They cannot rely on fifth man blitzes. They have to be able to win these one-on-one matchups, and they've got to be able to split defenders when they're being double teamed. They simply have to do it. If they can't do it, then we're just kind of stuck here realizing and recognizing that this Colts defensive line has a long way to go. Let's hope that they can really put it all together, because I think Jabal Sheard is good. We just don't see a whole lot of the production. Each of these guys up front do a little bit to help each other. That's a big, you know, that's a big thing, especially when you have four guys that rely on chemistry, timing, and everything else in order to produce pressure. You've got a couple guys like Tyquan Lewis, Denico Autry, who can get that pressure and earn that pressure on their own. They've got to do it. They've got to win those battles. Kamiko Touré's got to come in and spot shots and be able to get that pressure on there, because he's not a power guy. He is a speed guy. They've got to get that. The Colts have to try to force some pressure, with just their front four. They're going to need their linebackers, because they're going to need a spy on Watson. They're going to need guys to play really good in coverage from the linebacking position. And, I mean, they really have their work cut out for them. They cannot – this is not going to be a situation where you can pass off guys very often. You have to, you know, shut down Hopkins, and you do whatever you can to do that. Outside of that, you've got to make sure that everybody is taking their man-to-man responsibilities, or that they are at least doing what they are supposed to do individually, and they're supposed to, and they're doing it correctly. There is really going to rely on a lot of execution, solo execution at that, this week. So, I mean, let's look ahead to our look over here to the defensive side of the ball for the Texans. Bernardrick McKinney, Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, Cunningham, these guys are, they have a pretty good defense, guys. Kareem Jackson, all these guys heavy in the tackle mix, very much spread around. Justin Reed's a hell of a safety. You know, obviously we know what we get with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, Whitney Merciless, all that stuff. And virtually every one of those guys have played at least 10 to 11 games, all of them. You know, you get past that and you get some spotty starters. D.J. Reader, he's been effective this year. And, I mean, you've got J.J. Watt already this year with 11.5 sacks, Clowney with 7. So, I mean, Merciless hasn't been the sack guy this year, but we know what he's capable of. Those three together have produced almost 50 quarterback hits this year. That's a ton. I mean, you've got just under 20 sacks between the three, and you've got close to 50 quarterback hits. The Colts have to protect Andrew Luck. This defense is going to be hunting for him. They are going to, I mean, look, one thing you can say about this last week's game against the Jaguars is that they definitely showed that when you spread out your front four, that the Colts struggle to stop pressure. And they do. And I told you guys that last week, that that was when the Jaguars were at their best, when they spread out and they leave that center alone, those A-gaps, when they get outside of them. And they're going, you know, the Texans are going to do the same thing this week. You're going to see them be, I mean, but they're also going to play their game. They're going to do what they do best, which is let those guys eat. But they are also going to scheme up a little bit, because they know that the Colts, when you spread out, that means you force the offensive line to kickstep out further to be able to stop that outside rush. That presents holes in the interior. That is where the Colts have been really good this year, is on the interior. When you spread them out, you present a bit of a weakness. I mean, you've got Evan Bame sitting there at center right now, and then you've got the guys, you know, along the right side of the line in Glowinski and Braden Smith. They're going to have their hands full. You're going to have Quentin Nelson and Anthony Costanzo having their hands full on the other side. All these guys are going to be able to have to take care of their own responsibilities this week. These guys are going to present a major problem. And then you look at the secondary and kind of the way that this Texans defense can cover. They haven't won 9 games in a row because they're just, you know, okay. They haven't blown a whole lot of people out. But, guys, they can play football. This is going to be another really tough game. The Colts are going to have to be excellent offensively. They're going to have to be amazing up front when they're protecting Andrew Luck. They're going to have to really put and devise a nice game plan together in order to get Luck, not just his rhythm, but they've got to take shots. They've got to be smart in how they design those downfield shots as well, because you cannot just sit there and let Merciless and Clowney and J.J. Watt just rush Andrew Luck for 3 and 4 seconds. That is not a winnable formula. That is not going to work in the Colts' favor for their offensive line. A lot of their success has been derived from those quick hitting passes, and then you set them up with some of the longer stuff. You give the offensive line a break with quick hitters, and then when they do have to block and pass protect for, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds at a time, they're not winded. They're not tore down. This is something the Colts are going to have to think about. They're going to have to be able to do it. You saw them last week use Joe Haig a lot as an extra lineman. They used him at the tight end position in order to do this. And they may be doing that again this week. They just simply don't have the blocking without Jack Doyle right now. So it's going to be a task. They've got a lot ahead of them for this week. It's going to be a fun game, I think, to watch. I hope that the Colts can put it all together, because we did just, I mean, this last week's game against the Jaguars was one that you could fall asleep to. I mean, it would have been perfect for a Thanksgiving game to take a nap during, because I don't think anybody wanted to watch that game after halftime, including Colts fans. So this is a game that the Colts have to win. They have to win it in order to get themselves a legitimate shot at making the playoffs, to make them keep themselves in the hunt. But you know what else? They're going to have 3 games after this against teams who are playing much better ball than they have in the past. And in order to get themselves the momentum going forward, they need a big win here. This is their biggest game of the season right now. And you know what? I think that probably if you were to be realistic about everything, the Colts probably, outside of maybe just thinking about how the Giants, you know, have played up and down and the Titans have played up and down, they're going to play a Dallas Cowboys team next week. I mean, it will be at home, but they're playing a team next week in the Dallas Cowboys who have been playing their, you know, best ball of the year. So you've got 2 games right here back to back that the Colts can really use a lot of momentum going in. You're going to have the Giants and the Titans after that. I mean, they could. It would make life a lot easier, I can tell you that much, especially when you go in with the knowledge of that you just beat 2 of the hottest teams in the league right now. The Colts have a lot ahead of them, guys. This is not an easy second half of the schedule like we once thought it was going to be. So we're going to get a nice preview of what the Colts can do this week against the Texans. They come in at 9-3. The Colts come in at 6-6. 7-6 is a hell of a lot better than 6-7, guys, and especially when you're looking at that, unless you're already talking about draft. But look, we're in this position now, and I remember after week 4, we were all having this conversation, and I was getting upset and annoyed with everybody saying the Colts ain't doing nothing this year anyways. Well, right after that, the Colts ended up going on 5 wins in a row, and I get it. You know, you lose to the Texans, you lose to the Patriots, you lose to the Jets. Okay, I'm with you. You're 1-5. You're probably right. The Colts aren't doing much. But then you see how quickly things can come back. This is 4 games, a big stretch for the Colts right here. They need everybody to be on their P's and Q's. They need everybody to be healthy. Andrew Luck, Frank Reich has to be. They both have to be of the best mindset of the season. And they've got to perform. Frank Reich's got to be a good play caller, and he's got to be a good coach, and he's got to have these guys prepared. Andrew Luck's got to be excellent at the line of scrimmage and to be able to read this defense and to be able to put these receivers, these running backs, in a position to succeed. They both got to be smart. They've got to be efficient up front. And the Colts have to make a play or two on defense. They simply have to. Because if without it, the Colts are going to get beat. That is the reality of this game. So, big game for the Colts. In Houston, like I said, T.Y. Hilton usually tears them apart. That's going to be something to see, you know, whether T.Y. can maintain his production against these guys on the road. Andrew Luck always plays pretty well in Houston. It's going to be a fun game to watch, guys. So make sure you guys are keeping close to Stampede Blue. We'll give you guys some great analysis and news in the coming week as we head into that. We will have a film room session here in the next day or two about the Texans' last game. Hopefully you guys will listen to that. Hopefully we'll have something from Steven. And make sure, if you guys haven't yet, that you're listening to Chris Blystone's Dark Horses podcast here on Stampede Blue. because he's doing a great job with that. So we've got four good shows for you guys, four different podcasts that were given to you guys. And I hope that you guys are enjoying them. You guys are listening to them, so it's great to see. And make sure you guys are supporting TickPick as well. If you're going to buy tickets, go through TickPick. No guesses, no miscommunication there. What the price is you see is what you get at checkout. Make sure you guys are using the promo code SBColts. Also, get to the podcast on iTunes and give us a rating and review. Those always help a lot. And as always, make sure you get to Stampede Blue for all your Indianapolis Colts news and analysis. Thank you guys all for listening. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.